The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
According to 1 John, what does it mean to know Christ? How about abiding in Him and walking with Him? What do these mean? We will be talking about these things today, so we are so glad that you have joined us on Grace in Focus. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society, and we would love for you to know more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. There we have hundreds of articles about our Focused Free Grace position and information about our regional and national conferences. faithalone.org. Also, check out our videos on YouTube, Grace Evangelical Society. Please like and subscribe. We have a new short video or two every week. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Ken Yates and Catherine Wright.
We have a question from John. John was reading an article on the GES website. By the way, If you are not aware of the GES website, faithalone.org, go on there. There are a number of free material that's available, blogs, articles.
Magazine articles, journal articles.
John was going through there, and he saw an article. He doesn't identify who wrote it, but he's talking about 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. After reading the article, he says he's still struggling with what the article is trying to say.
Yeah, and basically, in summary, the article is arguing that the K-N-O-W, the know of 1 John is dealing with fellowship know. So as we are talking about walking as believers with the Lord, there is a knowing Him in our position at the moment of faith, but then there's also an abiding or ongoing deeper knowledge that we gain by being in fellowship with Him. And so the argument of the article is basically that when you come to 1 John and you see the knowing that you know God by keeping His commandments, for example, that is dealing with a fellowship concept, not a positional one. But John was still struggling with that, so we thought we might talk about it a little bit more.
For example, Catherine kind of mentioned the first verse in this section here, where John says, "Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." This is so typically taken to be talking about eternal salvation, or as Catherine said, positionally knowing the Lord. And this verse will be used, or these verses will be used, that if we do not keep His commandments, then we don't know Him. What that means is we're not saved.
Yeah.
And that's lordship salvation. That's the Calvinist. Of course, they never define how much you have to keep His commandments or how often you got to keep His commandments. Mm-hmm. But what we're arguing, and what the article that John, who asked the question, is arguing, is that the know there, to reword the way Catherine said it, is not talking about salvation from hell. It's not positionally knowing the Lord. It's knowing Him in a fellowship sense, getting to be closer to Him.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think maybe another way to word it is, can a believer claim to be pleasing God, but in reality not? That verse you just quoted, the idea that he's a liar. Can a believer lie? Can a believer put on a good show and look like they're pleasing God and going to church on Sunday maybe, and they put on their nice suit or whatever, but then they mistreat people or they're cheating on their spouse or whatever it is. So they're lying. They're still a believer, but they are claiming to have intimacy with the Lord. They claim to be pleasing the Lord, but in reality, they're not.
Yeah. If I claim to be in fellowship with God.
Right.
If I claim to be close with the Lord, I'm walking with Him, I'm in an intimate relationship with Him, but I'm not keeping His commandments, then I'm a liar.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's not saying, well, if you say you're a believer, but you don't keep His commandments, you're a liar. What he's saying is, if you say you're in fellowship with Him, but you do not keep His commandments, then you're a liar. And there's obviously a huge difference there.
Mm-hmm.
The illustration of this would be how we use the word know,
right.
K-N-O-W.
Right.
If I say, I know Joe Biden, That's a true statement.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
a true statement. I know Joe Biden. I can say, well, who is he? Well, he's a president. He's my president, whatever the case may be. But I can also use that phrase saying, I know him as a friend. You know, I know Joe Biden,
mm-hmm.
you know, even with that inflection there. I know Joe Biden. That would be a lie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about him, really, other than he's president and whatever I read in the news. But I don't know him in a fellowship sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we use that with any of our relationships. My wife's name is Pam. So if someone says, I know Pam, well, that's a true statement. But I can say it in a completely different way. I can say, I know Pam. We've been married for a long time, and I know what she thinks. I know what her favorite food is.
I know what bothers her.
Yeah, I know what yeah. bothers her, whatever the case sure. may be. So this know here is very flexible. But there's some other phrases in this passage as well.
Mm-hmm.
For example, verse 5, by this we know we are in him. And then also he talks about in verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought to walk as he walked.
Please plan to join us at Camp Copus in Denton, Texas. The Grace Evangelical Society's 2025 National Conference is May 19th through 22nd. Good fun, wonderful fellowship, recreational opportunities for the younger ones and the older ones. Great teaching. Our theme this year is dispensationalism and rewards. VBS for kids, too. More information and early bird registration now at faithalone.org/events. That's faithalone.org/events. Please come and join us.
How would you describe those phrases, in him and abiding in him?
When I hear the word abide, I usually think abode.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, which I know we don't really use that word very often in just normal language, but I think of your home. This is a place where you are relaxed and that you remain in. It's your place of just continual staying.
You're comfortable
you're
there.
You're comfortable there. Yeah, that's another way of putting it. And so this is your place of rest even. So you abide in this place. It's your place that you come to and you live there. That is your place of residence. So it's not just a knowing, again, the idea of, okay, we all know the Lord, but that you remain with him. You're going to be in his word. You're going to listen to his commandments. You're going to walk in those truths. It's a continuation. Sometimes when we talk about the distinction between salvation and discipleship, right? Salvation is a one-time event versus discipleship, which is an ongoing process. Well, that's the idea here, right? That your abiding is ongoing. It's remaining in this place and being, again, to use the word fellowship, which he used earlier in chapter one as well. So
I think it's great the way you put it, abide, being at home. It's like we use the phrase, you know, I can't wait to get home where I can kick my feet up,
mm-hmm.
you know, where I can be relaxed. And so the abiding here is someone that Christ is at home with, or
yeah.
we are at home with him. You know, he's at home with us.
Mm-hmm.
We abide with him.
Mm-hmm.
We're making our home with him.
And it's because of that that you now can have intimacy.
Right.
Because you're remaining, you do get the closed door information, right? The things that happen only within your intimate family, or like you said, your wife before, where it's like, well, when does that happen? It's when you live with that person day in and day out. That only comes from an ongoing walking.
And this whole passage is talking about walking in the light.
That's right.
Keeping his commandments. So if we're walking in the light of God's word, which is in chapter one, walking in the light, we have fellowship with him
mm-hmm.
and things like it. So as we're walking in the light of his word, as we're keeping his commandments, as we're confessing our sins, when that word reveals our sin to us, then we're in fellowship with him. We are at home with him. And the in him there also takes us back to John 15, where Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me
mm-hmm.
and you will produce much fruit. And so this whole passage is talking about how we are in fellowship, how we're able to produce fruit. And there's another phrase here where it talks about if we keep his word, the love of God is perfected in us. What do you think of when you see that? If we keep his word, obey his commandments, we're
mm-hmm.
walking in the light, then his love is perfected in us. In what way?
Well, I think of it as like maturing, right? That you're going through that process of being transformed more and more into his likeness even. And that's through the process of walking with him as he is maybe even going into the concept of Romans 12, right? Being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, that doesn't happen automatically at the moment of faith, which if I could, you know, even go back to what we were talking about coming to in the way that a Calvinist will come to this book and say that it's a test of salvation. Well, the argument there is that, well, once you're saved, you basically are perfected automatically.
Yeah.
And that you will produce all of these righteous things automatically. You will keep his commandments automatically. Whereas what we're arguing is no, and that doesn't happen automatically. You have to walk with him and he transforms you. And it's through the renewing of your mind and it's through this perfecting work of the Spirit ultimately.
Yeah, many of our listeners probably realize that the Greek word perfected there can mean, as Catherine mentioned, a mature love there, mm-hmm. or it reaches its goal.
That's right.
So another way of saying this is when we believe in Jesus Christ, we receive eternal life. But that isn't the Lord's goal for our life. The goal for the believer is that they would become, again, as Catherine mentioned, more like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's the perfection. That is the maturing that the Lord desires for us. And how do we know if that goal has been reached, if we're moving towards that goal, if we keep his commandments, if we walk in fellowship with mm-hmm. him, if we are exposed to the light of his word and we confess our sins when that word reveals those things to us.
Yeah, I just wanted to add as we wrap up that this unit ends in verse 28 where he says, abide in the Lord. Again, we have that word abide, so that when he returns, you will have confidence at his appearing and not be ashamed, which is a reference to the judgment seat of Christ, that as believers, we're going to stand before the Lord. And the goal is that we will stand before him perfected, that
yeah,
we will hear
mature.
Well done, mature believers and hear well done on that day. And so as we look at this entire chapter, it begins as it, you know, it ends the same way it began.
Yeah, and I just want to say in closing that even in this section here, verses 9, 10, 11, he talks about hating your brother. He's mm-hmm. talking to believers. You can't hate your brother if you're not a believer. He's not your brother. And so he's talking about walking in the light, being in the light, keeping his commandments. He's obviously talking about works here. And it's works done through the power of the Spirit who lives within us, and we will mature and become more like Christ, and we will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Well, John, we hope this helps maybe clear up some of the confusion in these verses. And remember, everyone, keep grace in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, is wanting or expecting rewards from Christ selfish? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.